This is our first Sunday of the year 2020. Wow. 2020. Can you imagine? It's an interesting time to live. And God has great things in store for every one of us. I'm excited about this year, this decade. We are starting the third decade of this century. There's something about three. Three is the number of God. Any wonder that the Lord says that this is going to be the season of the manifestation of God? God wants to make himself manifest to us and through us. That's remarkable. And if this is so, and it is, then we can, in a sense, deduce from past situations what to expect in this new season. When God manifested himself the very first time to Adam and Eve, there were certain things that happened, and there were certain things that generated failure. That we shall not have this time. Praise the Lord. God will fulfill his purpose. When the Lord was to come, he first met with a man called Zechariah. And in that encounter, Zechariah was made dumb because God was not going to tolerate any delay. And I hear the Lord saying the same thing. He is not going to give room for man to delay his advent, his coming. If that is the case, we need to cooperate with him. Now, what is my responsibility in this new season, in this new year, in this new decade that God has placed for us? How are we to respond? What are we called to do? I would like to start out by referencing this statement found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 21. It reads, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? In Matthew 5 and verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In Luke 11 and verse 33, no man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place." I like that. No man, when he's lit a candle, puts it in a secret place. If this is true for man, it is also true about God. Because what God is going to do shall not be done in secret. Everyone, just as it will be at his return, everyone will see and be aware that this is the doing of God. No man, when he had lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see it. Wow. In 5:15, it says, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So the candlestick gives light to them that are already in the house. And in Luke 11:33, it says that they which come in may see the light. So God is going to share this light for those who are present and those that are yet to come. I thank God for that. That those that are in and those that are out and are coming in will see the light. Mark 4:21 again. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Is a candle brought? That's another phase. Because the candle is lit somewhere else. It is lit somewhere else and brought in. He says, is that candle that is lit brought in to be put under a bushel? No. Or under a bed? No. Is it not brought in so that it can be set on a candlestick? Common factor in all the passages is that word candlestick. 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 That means a holder. A holder. The candlestick is that which is holding the candle, holding the element that is bearing the light. In a real sense, you and I are called not only to be light to the world, we're called to be the candlestick. God is going to put his light on candlesticks so that the light shines brightly. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to us this new year? I am saying to you, to me, that God has a plan. And the plan is to make sure that the manifestation of his glory is made known. How? Through you and through me. That's how God is going to do it. That's how God is going to do it. God is looking for a people that are ready for him. Question I need to ask you, as I ask myself today, is this: are you ready for this new move that God is ready to bring about? Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, you must get yourself ready, because God is on the move. This is beyond the anointing. What God wants to do is a manifestation of his glory. We cannot be caught and held back on how things used to function, as you heard me say before. But now we need to move into this new phase of what God wants done. It is the manifestation of his glory all that God is, the manifestation of all that God is. Can you imagine? You see, the manifestation of His glory is that which we are going to experience for all eternity. But God is about to kickstart what we are going to step into. There are key things that God wants to do in our world that has not been done. God wants to bring you and I to a place where we are going to experience Him anew, with fresh eyes. Understand what He's saying, what He's wanting to accomplish, His divine purpose. He wants to reveal Himself to us so that we are filled with awe. In essence, He wants to get you ready for the heavenly experience so that you are not overshocked. Let me say that. He wants to get you and I ready so that we are not overwhelmed. Miracles, 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 signs, wonders displayed in us, through us, in the marketplace, in the church, outside the church, in your home, at your working place, in the hospital, wherever you are. God wants you to be that candlestick. He wants you to not be a secret disciple. In an age and a time when the world wants you to run and hide undercover, God is saying, this is the time for you to come out. Everybody's coming out of the closet. It's time for you, child of God, to come out of the closet and be bold by the authority of the Word of God and declare that Jesus is Lord in all the earth. For He's been given a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Shine brightly. Don't hide. Don't go hiding under the bed. When just thinking about that, putting the candlestick under the bed reminds me of the time I was in California. I had just had graduated from the first school of ministry, and we were having a mass crusade in the city of Sacramento, California, with my spiritual father, Papa Cerullo. Blessed be the name of the living God. And I was being billeted in a town called Lincoln, California. And while I went there, the first day I got there, the Lord spoke to me and said, I would like you to have a mass crusade in this community. I didn't know how that was going to work. Nobody knew me in this place. So in the morning, I told my host, the Haynes family, I said, God spoke to me to have a mass crusade in this community. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, how would you like to go about this? I said, I'd like to see if I can get some of the churches in the community to help me out. I wasn't expecting anybody in this totally Caucasian community. No black, they didn't have any black persons in there. Not being racist or anything like that. But that was the reality. I went in there and I went to the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church priest said, yes, we'll support you. I said, what? You will do what? He said, yeah, we need something like that here in this community. I went to the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church said, yes, we will support you. I went to the Baptist. The Baptist, yes, we will support you. What? I went to the newspaper, the print media. I went there and they said, we will run an ad for you for free. Guess what? You thought I was happy about all of this? No, no, no. I got so scared. I got on the next flight I could get into, and I flew from Sacramento to what's the name of the place now? I've forgotten the name of the place. Anyway, some little town in California. I went, and I as soon as I got in there, I went under the bed, and I started hiding. The Lord spoke to me and said, what are you doing under the bed? I said, you know. He said, get out of from underneath that bed and get back. Go do that mass crusade. And so I did. I was trying to hide the light under a bed. Today, I want to say to you, in 2020, be radical with your faith. Be radical with it. Talk to somebody about it. Every time you step out of this building and you're heading out through those front doors, there's a big banner there. Right across the top of those doors. The heartbeat of God is souls, souls, souls. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let 2020 be the year that you are a radical soul winner. God is going to manifest his glory in you and through you. Pray for the sick. Lay hands on the sick. They will recover. And God will use you mightily like never before. You will speak the word of God and miracles are going to happen. God is going to use you in a mighty way. I want you to get ready for this mighty move of God. Child of God, this is going to happen because God has elected that he wants to do so. And I wanted to make certain that I left you with this word at the beginning of 2020. Glory and Peace Church, every one of you, everyone, make certain that you make this mandate to win souls the mandate that you run your life with day in, day out. Don't just come to church and lift up your hands and worship God and go home and do something else. No. Every day, understand that God has called you to be a great harvester of souls. Go. Do it. Jesus is coming. Don't let your light be put out. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Don't hide the integrity of the goodness of God. If you make that decision today, I assure you that you will behold the true manifestation of God's glory like never before. He wants everybody to experience his goodness. Hallelujah. Now, is there something I need to do? The word of God says to us, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing is going to be added unto you. You've got to place your priorities right. As you begin this decade, let your priorities be put in order. Seek God, his kingdom first. Not money. Not a bigger house, not a bigger car. Not your own private agenda. Seek God's kingdom first, and he says every other thing is going to be added unto you. Whatever else you need. Listen, child of God, let me put it to you this way. Somebody sent me something recently about a man and his son that went into a store. And when they got to the store, the store owner looks at the little kid that was there and says to the kid, he says, you see those containers of candies that you're looking at? He says, take some for yourself. And the kid looks up at the dad, won't do it. And says to him again, son, get some candy. And kid looks at the dad, And the dad says to him, "Child, didn't you hear what he said? You can have some. You can have some candy." And keeps on looking. And the dad, frustrated, dips his hand inside and grabs a whole bunch of candy. And they walk out. And as they walked out, the father says to the son, "Why were you shy and didn't take the candies when the man said?" The kid says, "Well, because I wanted you to take it for me." He said, "Why?" He says, "Because if you took some from there, your hands are bigger than mine. That's what I want you to understand. If you are trying to pursue things and stuff in your own ability, you're going to get little. Now you got to let God pick for you. His hands are much more big. They're bigger hands. They will grab more." And this is the theme that God is trying to drive home to us. That this time, it's not about what you're going to do that's going to bring about the full impact and benefits that you and I need to experience, but what he's going to do. Because what you're going to do in your little... Look at it this way. You are running at the very best on battery power. He's running with a full power. And he will never run out. He wants you and I to flow in an unction, in an anointing that is not based on what we have accomplished in our own strength or ability, but by his great mighty power. In 2020, henceforth, let God be God. Let me bring it to some very practical ways for you. Oh, I'm a pastor. I know that the church runs with the givings of God's people. God set it up with tithes and offerings and first fruits and stuff like that. And we need to do all of that. But I want to say to you today that when you give to God, henceforth, don't give in expectation of what you think would be equal value of benefit based on how you gave. But look at it this way, that God, not your giving, is going to be the conduit for blessing in your life. So give as generously as you can. Give your all. But in the giving of your all, don't place your faith in the giving of your all. Place your faith in the doings of God. Because this time, it is not you. It's God doing exceedingly far above anything that you dare ask or think. We are in that place. We have stepped into the full mature season of these words of God. We've been tapping little here, little there, little here, little there on what God had purposed. But now we are coming into the fullness, the maturing of the promises of God, the fullness of time, the due time of God, the time of the suddenlies of God, where God is going to be doing things so quickly in your life, in my life, through our lives, in a magnificent way. There is a supernatural speed that is coming upon our lives that will cause us to outrun the chariots of Ahab. By the authority of the word of God, God wants to do marvelous things in your life and in my life. The question is, are you going to let it happen? If there's one counsel I need to give to you, and I need to share with myself today, it is this: evaluate the motivation for everything that you do henceforth, and be certain that whatever it is that you are doing is not corrupted by works. but that everything that you do is done in faith, believing that God, the extraordinary God, is doing a new thing in your life and in my life. We've got to seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And the glory of God is going to be made manifest. This is the season of cultivating that glory. You say, what do you mean cultivating the glory of God? Cultivating the glory of God is the practicing of the presence of God. Recognizing that wherever it is that you are, God is. Therefore, we must not give ourselves to the practice of evil because there's nobody there that can see. God is everywhere. So living in the fear of the fact that God is everywhere I am. The Word of God says this is the beginning of wisdom. Having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Recognizing that the Holy Spirit is with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. The Father is with you. He said he will come and make his abode with us. I must live my life recognizing that God is wherever I am. Therefore, my mouth must not speak that which is guile. I am not to speak anything that is evil out of my mouth. I am not there to be fighting with my spouse, with my children, with my neighbor, saying something bad about somebody else because they are not there, gossiping and backbiting. No, I am cultivating the knowledge of the presence of God in my life 24/7. You say, is that not what I should have been doing all this while? Absolutely, but more than ever before. God is manifesting his glory, his presence in you and with you. What does that mean, cultivating this presence of God? It means, child of God, that you don't live in the realm of the fear of man, the fear of lack, the fear of anything, when you know that God is with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. I have no reason to be afraid when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because the rod of the Lord, the staff of the Lord, it is comforting me. He's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I dwell in the presence of the Lord, my God, forever. Hallelujah. That's cultivating the presence of God, recognizing God is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want you to understand that the God of grace and mercy has declared you free from every limitation, from everything that is contrary, and that his kingdom has come and his will done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Thirdly, I want you to lay demand on this glory. Don't let the glory of God come around you and not accomplish its purpose. In essence, don't miss this visitation of the Lord. So how do we do that? By doing what the woman with the issue of blood did. She linked in and she logged in and she fastened herself to the Lord. Even when her hand was not there, power was oozing out. Virtue, power, dunamis power was coming from the Lord into her and accomplishing everything the purpose of God wanted. Elijah made a demand, or rather Elisha made a demand on the power that he had just received when the open heaven took the master Elijah away. He had tried in his own ability to cross the Jordan and couldn't. But then he struck that water and said, where is the God of Elijah? This is a time when circumstances challenge you that you must say, where is the God who has manifested his glory. And you will see pathways created, a new thing that brings you into the land of promise. Hallelujah. Finally, we must make certain that we keep this thing that God has given to us. You've got to guard God fervently this manifestation of the glory of God. To not do so becomes very expensive. Samson was a man that was anointed. The power of God was manifest in his life. But he did not do this one thing, guard that which God had given to him. And because he did not, he lost his sight. In 2020, don't lose your sight. Have perfect vision. Praise the Lord. He lost his sight. And then he lost his freedom. The presence of God was no longer there. And ultimately, he died. Even though he accomplished so much more in his dying, he still died because he did not guard what God had given to him. Guard what God has bestowed upon your life and my life. I wrap up by reading to you from Proverbs. The fourth chapter. It says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let your heart be messed up. Keep it. Your real essence is the glory of God. You came out of that glory. Keep it. Why is this so important? Because you see, when it is daylight, that's not when you go shine candlelights. You shine candlelights when it is dark. The world is about to go really dark. Now you need to shine brightly. I'm going to pray with you. Rise with me, and I'm going to pray with you. The pastors are going to come, and they're going to continue to minister to you. Right now, I just want you to just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Stretch it up. Heavenly Father, behold your sons and your daughters. Behold, O God, these ones that you have given in this house. I ask, O God, that like never before, that you will do extraordinary things in each of them, in every family. Lord, reveal yourself, Most High God. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself in the fullness of your splendor. Touch, O God, sons and daughters, these ones that are listening, O God, online, and these ones, O God, that are here in this household of faith. Lord, O God, I pray, O God, that there be an outpouring of your presence, of your glory, like never before, that every stronghold of the enemy be shattered by the authority of your word, that, Lord, O God, every obstacle be eradicated. Father God, that they receive supernatural speed to accomplish that which you've called them to. I ask, O God, that each one will shine brightly. Lord, O God, let your people shine really bright. In a dark world, let your glory be revealed. Let your authority be revealed. Let your splendor be revealed. Let, O God, your power be revealed like never before. We give you praise for all that you now do. Thank you, Lord, that everyone is marked with a blessing. Give to each one that special, unique gift that attaches itself to them. And let this which you have given to them not be stolen from them. Receive the grace of discernment, of discerning of spirits. Receive the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding of the Most High God. Be fully equipped to accomplish everything the Father has for you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I call it so done. Amen and amen.